This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, indeed. They call me Mark Dolan. This is FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station on the edge of a piece of world history that we will all pay the price for one way or the other. Let's do this.
Mark Dolan eats the news.
My guests have just stood up, I ought to point out. Because to reflect on what feels like a 25-year election campaign, to reflect on what it's done to our perception of the United States, the greatest nation on earth, so they say, is it still? Been the most talked about, the most tweeted, the most social media, the most technological election ever, the most scandalous, the most exciting, the funniest, the worst, the best. So what the bloody hell's gonna happen? I love this bit. Yes, the Americans coast to coast, north and south, every inch of this greatest democracy on earth are voting in a key election that has economic implications for the world, foreign policy issues, security, safety, nuclear war, everything. I mean, there's been a lot of good stuff. Like, I learned so much about women listening to Donald Trump. That's... You know, I'm happily married. It took me ages to get my wife to fall in love with me. I had to be so funny for years and just like charming and connect with her emotionally and spiritually. If I'd known that all you had to do was grab the pussy. Clearly, it's been very difficult. And there are challenges for both candidates because, as we know, Hillary has the email thing and Donald has the being a cunt thing. Now, I've got friends in Washington. I can tell you this whole thing about Hillary is that she used private emails to do government business. Now, I can actually tell you an exclusive to FUBAR Radio, friends in Washington, it is the case she did. Okay, I can also tell you she authorized airstrikes on Syria via Snapchat. The woman, evil. So what is going to happen and what state do we see America in going forward after the biggest election ever? To help me do that, I have selected America's finest. Now, if you're concerned about illegal immigration, if you're a bit of a Nigel Farage character, fear not. When I look at these two, are the greatest immigrants the United Kingdom has probably ever received. Top comedians, Eric McElroy and JoJo...
Good God.
Listen, again? Have you not had a chat with your agent about changing your surname?
Yes.
I mean, I know you're doing very well. You're a celebrated and much-loved comedian. But the surname is a major hump.
I know. Well, I can't think of another name.
Even you do. Occasionally you panic and can't remember how it's pronounced.
You know what? I can't remember how it's spelled. 9 times out of 10, I misspell my own last name.
So. JoJo.
Giorgio.
JoJo Giorgio.
Yeah, but the U at the end, so it's Giorgio U.
I tell you what, though, it's a talking point. It's a great icebreaker at parties. Eric McElroy, solid, kind of stand-up name you can just trust,
well,
get behind.
It becomes McElroy quite often.
So, oh, really? Yeah, so people can even mess that up.
There should be an A in there, but it's not spelled that way.
I got a friend, okay. Do you know, everyone has problems with call centres, don't they? Where you have to spell out your name.
Yeah.
And it's and I have a friend, and he is called Peter Brown. Right? Okay. You think this is a dream.
I can see.
This is a dream for the call centres. No. 50% of calls, they go, is that Brownwe? It's like, why do you have to compliment? Why are we overthinking this?
Yep.
Be confident. Just assume it's Brown.
You don't, I guess, probably because people have assumed, and then they've gotten somebody who's lost it and gone, how dare you? And then they're sensitive to it. That's what happens.
I think
it's the whole Canadian-American thing. The Canadians get all wound up because they come from an imaginary place that doesn't exist, and then they get called Americans, and, you know, it's challenging.
Please don't mention Canada. We don't have swearing in the studio. See, look, what I'm doing there, I'm playing to my American friends with a little Canada bashing, because I know you guys love that.
Well,
yeah,
we got
a little bit.
Yeah, we don't really care.
But you don't need to, do you?
We don't need to. We've got our, we do actually at the moment. Maybe we shouldn't be throwing stones.
Yeah, we might have to move there, so
yeah, exactly.
We might have to immigrate.
So what we'll do, talk comedian Eric McElroy, JoJo Georgiou, outstanding to have you here. Voting is happening at the moment. America, a beacon of economic liberty, democracy, all that stuff. It's very, very exciting. The world is watching. Previous elections, the world has been interested. Somehow, this time round, it like seems to really matter to the world. It's like, we had Brexit, which affected us, but I think our emotions as Brits are the same for this election. It's like we're all checking our smartphones every 10 minutes for the latest exit poll, which I would think is unprecedented in this country, Eric.
Yeah, usually what they've done is they've held out giving the results of a state because on the East Coast, because the polls close earlier because they're 3 hours ahead of the West Coast, because they don't want people to say, oh, well, I'm not going to vote in California.
Correct.
Now. But this year, there's a number of initiatives where people are going to be releasing the exit poll data that the networks use to predict the results as they happen live. So
I think
literally,
that's a terrible idea, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
isn't it bad for democracy?
That's what they say, that they've thought that it suppresses vote, but no one actually knows if it does. So that's the question. So do we deserve more information that the networks and the elite have, which everyone's against these days? Or does it just open it up and we all know? And then if you know, if you're in California, you better run down and vote.
All right. It's interesting. It means actually, JoJo, and this is perfect for Americans, it suddenly means that the election becomes like a baseball game.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And in the same way that the Dodgers, right? As suddenly several rounds. Do they have rounds? This is going to be a long... I don't think I should improvise a bit about baseball.
I don't think anyone should. Baseball,
I think I'm out of my depth.
Oh, it's like I'm not a baseball. Baseball's the one thing I miss about America.
We'll get to that. But it's like a ball game, and yes, the losing team are going to have to really bring something out of the hat to get that victory. And this is what might happen if you found out that, you know, Hillary's winning on the East Coast, the West Coast, well, okay, let's bundle on Trump now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but here's the thing,
more
though.
Dangerously, Hillary's won, I don't have to go out.
Exactly. But the thing is, they got into trouble with this a few years ago because when people would come out, they would lie and say who they voted for, and it was a lie. So they were predicting someone won, and then that person didn't win.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, I think it was Gore. You know, they were saying Gore won this state or that state, and it wasn't true. And then there was, yeah, so
because Gore was the politically correct choice, and therefore, when you've got a hipster who's doing the kind of polling in his cagoule, saying, dude, which way do you vote, man?
Is that what you used to do when you were at university?
I'm afraid I did. Yeah, I'm still doing it.
Yeah. You would look good in a cagoule.
Well, I do. I try, you know. So, Midnight Black, if you're interested. Well, fully waterproof Gore-Tex. Money's been spent. You have some results, Eric. You are part of that media.
Well, I'm trying.
You've got something. And do you know what's amazing, JoJo? He's
trying.
Even got like an amazing, like a shiny iPad.
I know.
I'm trying. It doesn't.
This is wasted on the radio.
I'm clicking it, but it's not working. So I don't know if we're
webcasting. In that case, do you know what? I'll enlist some help. Adam, senior executive here, vice president, FUBAR Inc.
Okay.
Adam's gonna grab your laptop or your iPad and see what's happened.
It might work on a computer. It's VoteCaster is the site. Vote and then Caster is CASTR.
Right, VoteCaster. There you go. And you're listening at home, have a listen, and or at work, not doing your job. Then check out VoteCaster and let's take a look. And obviously, we will furnish you with exit polls and all sorts of results as they come in. I know it's early doors, but it's nice to get a sort of feeling, a steer on you know, what's in the air, as it were.
The national polls have all converged around a 4-point lead for Hillary. So either people have been lying to the polls, so there's either what they've called the shy Trump voters who are too ashamed or imaginary to say they're going to vote for Trump. So that's the big question. If they exist, if these shy Trump voters exist, then we're in for a long night. If it's people are behaving as they normally do and aren't lying, I mean, the people I've met that are shy voters or that I've talked to back in the States are Republicans who are not Trumplicans. Can I coin that as a phrase?
It's yours now.
And because Trump isn't really a Republican. He's his own thing.
No.
And so they're ashamed of what he represents, and they're going to either not vote at all, or they're going to vote for the evil that is Hillary Clinton.
Well, the only thing I wonder is, could Hillary be a victim of her own success in terms of rubbing shoulder to shoulder with businesses? Because isn't the fact that she's so corporate quite amenable to the Republican sensibility as a party? The culture of the Republican Party is that they are in bed with big business. What's so wrong with Hillary being in bed with big business? Isn't she basically a Republican by any other name?
Well, that's what all the Bernie Sanders supporters said. I mean, they very much saw her as part of the rigged system, and the protest candidacy of Bernie was all
she's
driven
definitely
by that.
One word I've not heard, JoJo, and this is the biggest four-letter word in American politics. No one calls her a socialist.
Yes, she's worked hard to get away from that, because that will kill you dead in America. Seriously, in politics, that will kill you. That's something America... My brother won't even come to this country because he's terrified of socialism. And yeah. He keeps going, no, it's too close to communism and I can't see the difference. I'm like, let me explain 9 million times what the difference is again. And of course, he is supporting Trump. I can't even talk to him now without my blood pressure.
It's terrible. Isn't it terrible when there's illness in the family?
Seriously, mental illness must be rampant in my, because it's like all the women in my family are voting Hillary. All the men are voting Trump. And I'm like, somebody's going to die. There's going to be, I mean, people aren't talking to each other now. It's like Christmas is going to be really, really, really tense back home in Texas.
I think it is.
Somebody's going to come away. Somebody's going to the hospital. I'm just going to say this right now. Somebody's going to the hospital.
But that's what Bernie Sanders was remarkable. Is he said, I'm a socialist. And I mean, if anything, he brought it into the mainstream in a way that it didn't exist before. I mean, back in the day, when I left the States, if you were at a dinner party and you said, I'm a socialist, it'd be like, Marge, we're leaving. I mean, the equivalency now would be like if you went to a dinner party and said, you know who's got some good ideas? ISIS.
Right,
I'm
yes.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Some people look better without their heads. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, it's that kind of level of dislike.
And, but really
I think he's changed that. Obviously, maybe not for your brother. But,
no.
But for a lot of people, it mainstreamed socialism in a way and pulled Hillary to the left. She's gone back to the middle to win, which is because you're trying to govern the whole country.
Yeah.
And whether or not that works, because Trump has just stayed to the right. He never – people thought he would moderate. People thought he would kind of
– But he just hasn't.
But he – He hasn't.
I would like to point out that Hillary has not gone as bankrupt as much as Donald Trump. So I would say she's in better standing financially. I think she understands finances a little bit better than the man who's gone bankrupt. What is it, six times?
Six times.
And you want him to run your country? We'll go bankrupt in a week. How much is it going to cost him to redo the White House? It's going to be covered in gold and crap. He's going to put Trump towers on it. Trump House.
Yeah.
It's going to be called a Trump House.
It really is. Correct. Yeah.
And, you know, he'll put slot machines there.
Yeah. And there'll be like waffle machines, hot dog concessions.
He'll open it up to the public. They'll have girls in skimpy outfits, you know, all, you know, dodging people, grabbing them by the pussy.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Wrong.
Sorry. I couldn't resist.
Wrong.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned or you used that line wrong. This, of course, became his catchphrase in the three presidential debates, all of which were required viewing.
Mm-hmm.
More hilarious than any Jim Carrey or Ben Stiller comedy. More horrific than any Stephen King adaptation. I mean, it was basically a freak show, wasn't it? Especially the last one when Trump went feral and seemed to be physically stalking Hillary on the stage.
He was stalking her.
Yeah. Because it was one of those, it was a town hall, so you had to move around and you could, you know, you're not stuck behind a podium. And usually when you're not talking, you sit, you know, and you wait for your turn. But he got up and just sort of, at one point though, he wandered out of shot and I thought maybe he just walked off. He's fucked off. Where are you going? You know, but he didn't.
No.
But what was incredible is if you watch him do the wrong statement where he's doing wrong, then go and watch Saturday Night Live and Alec Baldwin do it. And then when Trump does it again, you're like, you're impersonating Alec Baldwin, impersonating you. Where does the real Trump end and where does Alec Baldwin begin?
And this is what I wanted to ask you, which is I wonder whether, notwithstanding the polls and notwithstanding the FBI investigation on Hillary's emails, which we'll come to, I wonder whether if the election had happened 3 or 4 months ago, before Trump became this parody, he might have actually won. And I just wonder whether the novelty factor, that his big USP was the fact that he wasn't a politician, that he's a maverick celebrity / businessman. And there's a certain inevitable freshness that comes with that. And I wonder whether the election has been so long now that people are a bit over his catchphrases. And they're, you know, I wonder whether the act, you're a top comedian, Eric. You know how a comedian has to turn over his material, right?
Yeah.
I wonder whether Donald has become one of those comics that's still doing the stuff he did when he was an open spot and we're a bit tired of it now.
That's been a problem at some of of the rallies, because that's what he's fed off of, is the people there in front of him and the feedback loop he gets from that. Hillary is data-driven. Everything she says, every fart she makes has been poll-tested and data-checked. Trump would try out ideas. And there was one thing he actually suggested, watering down the wall. And he tried that out in front of an audience, and he got a cold reaction. And then all of a sudden, the wall was going to be higher. Mm. So he very much needed that feedback loop. But as these rallies have gone on, the same old lines about the wall and the Muslims
crooked
and
Hillary
banning. You know, he needed to get juicier and juicier. And that's why, rather than ramping down, like a lot of people thought it was, he ramped it up.
Yeah.
Just to keep the crowds on fire.
And also, isn't this the thing? And there are parallels also with any stand-up comic, which is the more extreme you go, you're stuck with then having the next thing to say is more extreme.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, you don't get a reaction, right?
Yeah. You're stuck in that loop and you can't get out of it.
No, because he can't stand on a platform today and go, oh, I'm going to make sure that interest rates don't go too high.
No.
Everyone's going to be like, yeah, whatever.
They're like, yeah, what is that? You know, half the people actually will not know what that even means.
Let's hear about the rapey Mexicans.
Yeah, the rapey Mexicans. Yeah, they're jihadists. They're going to come cut our heads off.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder, the strangest thing, because there are so many contradictions about this election and about the campaign, but it would appear to me as a relatively neutral observer that Hillary has pretty much had the perfect campaign, notwithstanding the stuff that has happened to her and been said about her that's out of her control, such as an investigation by the FBI, all the baggage about her being, you know, this metropolitan elite. But she herself hasn't said anything stupid. She hasn't been misquoted. She hasn't been caught off mic slagging anyone off. And I thought she was regal in all three debates. Is it just me, or did Hillary not put a foot wrong?
No, I think she's run a very, very good campaign. But that just goes to show you she's not as easily baited as him. She's been there. She's been in this industry, business for a long time. Hmm. She knows how the game is played. You know, and she knows that, you know, if, just because they say you're off the air, your mic might still be on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You know, she's not stupid. She's been through the I think she's a really good candidate for us. I mean, I wish Bernie had been in. If Bernie was in, I would have voted for him. But Hillary's there. I'd rather see Hillary than this guy who will destroy the world.
We'll come to Bernie, and I'm really glad you mentioned Bernie. Eric, would you agree that Clinton's campaign was flawless? Because whatever happens with the election, and we're going to get a result, I think we'll have an idea who's going to be president of the free world around 11 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, it depends on the early returns. Yeah, it could be a little bit later, depending on how some of the early states come in.
That means I'm going to have to stay up. I'll make coffee for us.
I'm staying up to 7 a.m., baby.
So, it's happening.
I'd like you to know, just listening, that we're all having a pajama party tonight.
That's right.
Round at mine.
You wear pajamas? Okay.
Not for you, baby.
The only thing I would change with Hillary's campaign, like you said, there were so many things that were done right, would be Hillary. I mean, that was the problem with all of that that was there and all of the things that were going right for her. She had the Obama data team behind her. She had Obama's popularity coming up. The economy's been improving. Unemployment's going down. But she is not a retail politician. She has all the scandals and baggage behind her. Mm. And look, Bill Clinton has tons of scandals and done some nasty things, to be honest. Trump has done some terrible, nasty things and bankruptcies and all these things. But both of them have that charm and likability in the modern media that allows for us to, and maybe it's a gender issue. But whatever it is, that's been Hillary's thing to carry. Now, whether or not, I think if she wins, she'll relax into the role. And I think the people who worked with her in the Senate, and I've known people who worked with her, said she was a competent senator, reached across the aisle to the other side. Mm. And as a Secretary of State, she was generally liked by the people in the State Department. I think once this whole campaign thing that she just doesn't do well, maybe she'll be competent.
Yeah, so the greatest thing that we have to fear is fear itself. Yeah. So everyone's afraid about what Hillary will be like if she gets into the White House. And the job might humanize her.
Well, all the emails that have come out through WikiLeaks, they've all just shown what we knew all along. That she, you know, they show that she was cautious, that she was measured, and that she was a politician.
Exactly.
Yeah. Believe it.
So
disgusting.
What was she thinking?
Politics.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about more about Hillary, potential president Hillary, and also Trump, and why Trump exists, how he has happened as a phenomenon, how he got this far, and what it's done to the state of America. Because if I was a newspaper editor, and if Hillary were to win by late tonight, early tomorrow morning, my headline would be, Hillary wins, but America is damaged. Do you agree? At FUBAR Radio, Dolan at FUBARradio.com. We're going to play a record now, very carefully put together the playlist by Adam and the team. We've got Kids in America, Kim Wilde, an absolute classic, an example of the perfect relationship, an American song and an English singer. What more is there that you could possibly want? This is FUBAR. Don't go anywhere. It's our US election special coming to you live on FUBAR. Yes, indeed, Mark Dolan, FUBAR Radio, election special, the Americans are voting, and it's a very, very close run thing. I should have asked you guys at the top, Eric, what's going to happen?
Oh, I don't want to say. I didn't think Trump would be the nominee, so I'm done making predictions. I really do think it's all down to this alleged shy voter thing. If they don't exist, which I don't think they do, but I mean,
because Americans don't do shy, do they?
Generally not.
No.
But I mean, I was gigging around the country when Brexit was imminent, and I could feel the Brexit coming because I had a run of gigs in Kent and Essex, because that's, you know, my career is not going very well.
But you're playing big houses there.
Yeah, big houses, dozens and dozens of
some of the best art centers.
Yeah, exactly. But and I would, you know, mention the upcoming vote, and you can feel people kind of look at their shoes and go, "Yeah, oh, actually, we're gonna." So I don't have that feel. But America's so diverse, and it is such a, you know, a state by state system where we could end up quite easily with California, which was very much supporting Hillary, huge population. That could pull Hillary so that she you know, wins the popular vote. But because of the balance in state power, the states could tip still towards Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's still possible. And that's what happened to Al
Gore. But there are some states in play now. Right now, it's like Nevada is in play. You know, she might get Nevada, which is which would be amazing. But because they have a huge Latino vote there, and they've really been getting out because they think Donald Trump is no mas, man. He is no mas. So. Yeah.
Well, one of his great lines in one of the debates was the bad hombres, which is an amazing racial slur against all people of a Mexican background.
Yeah, anyone from South America, pretty much. Yeah, that just covers them all. Let's just slag off everyone from south of that part of this of Texas. Let's just slag them all off and hope that they don't notice.
Well, he has watched Three Amigos and studied this issue very closely.
Which is a documentary about Mexican people.
Because that is how it is. Yeah,
I had no idea that Chevy Chase was Mexican. And
I know. It's unbelievable.
You know. So, but here's my question. And we've discussed Hillary's campaign, which we think was pretty flawless. However, the candidate, very flawed. What about Donald's campaign? Because I wonder whether it's impossible to judge whether it was a good campaign, because I suspect there wasn't a campaign. I think that there might have been emails sent. There might have been, you know, they might have storyboarded it, but Donald wasn't listening.
No, Donald's not listening. Donald is just a giant orange nose thingy. I don't know. It's like he gets his color goes up and down, so you can always tell the threat of America by just looking at Donald. How orange is he today? Are we in
trouble?
Well,
I know what you mean, because I'm actually getting my house redecorated at the moment, and you love to have
these Trump
the
orange.
Color
it's
charts.
The new color.
It
yeah.
is. It's very vibrant.
It's a vibrant orange.
Although I got to say, I've done it. I painted my kitchen Trump orange, and now when I'm in there, I just hate the blacks.
Oh my God! See, that's the problem. That's the problem.
What are you going to do? The gays,
the blacks,
socialists,
women.
Obviously,
unless they're pretty and they don't mind you grabbing their vaginas and yanking them around. Yeah, exactly. That's Trump for you. But seriously, he's like, how orange is he going to get? If he is our president and something does happen, we can just look at him, and if he's literally glowing, then we know we're in shit. Something bad's about to happen.
This is a genuine theory you have, isn't it?
Yes,
you've been watching
honestly,
his skin pigmentation
I have been
for
watching
a while.
Him go, slowly go orange then lighter and orange and lighter. It's like, there's no consistency in whoever's doing your makeup or wherever you're getting your spray tan done, Donald. And also when he gets upset, his orange gets brighter. Look, when he's on stage and he gets mad and he wants to start screaming, he starts to almost glow and vibrate with that orangeness. So I was like, maybe the problem with Donald is he has orange poisoning. He has got toxic poisoning from all the orange paint on his body.
From the fake tan.
Who knows what it's doing to his little brain cell with
the
one or two that are left.
Trump Towers.
Yeah, the fake gold. Yeah, he's inhaling it. And it's gotten in his brain. It's clogging up his brain now. That's it.
So he could be like America's first gold leaf president. Literally just sort of dipped in gold.
If he dies, we really don't have to do anything because he is perfectly preserved now, pretty much. That's it. Pop him in, he's done.
Half man, half monument.
Exactly, you know. But I mean, pop him in a chair.
But, you know, we've had the first African American president with Barack Obama. If we have Hillary Clinton, we're going back to a white president. This is a nice transitional compromise.
It is. I agree.
The thing is, and if we get Trump, you know, at least we get, you know, his wife who used to be a porn star. That'd be great. You know, that's
correct.
A new
Bill Clinton, who kind of was a porn star as well.
Yes, yes.
So we have that advantage.
But he did help the cigar industry. Their sales rocketed after that, you know, so that's true.
Yeah, special flavored cigars.
Yeah,
so every time you, there's so many elements to this. I actually want to talk about Bill, and I want to talk
about.
I love
Bill. I would love Bill back in the office. Well, I want to see what Bill's going to get up to.
This might be a factor. So he'll be fluffing up the pillows in the White House guest bedroom.
I have a feeling he's going to have only male interns. There's going to be a moratorium on all female interns for Bill.
I think so.
They're going to be stopping the blue pills from being sent to the White House.
Yep.
I think there's going to be like one of those metal detectors you walk through, X-ray, but rather than showing for guns, it will show for vaginas.
Yes, yes, that's it.
And if there's a VJ in there, the alarm goes off.
And cigars.
And a SWAT team wrestles that person that owns a vagina to the ground.
You said vaginas. Who's walking around with more than one vagina?
I know people.
What if they're bringing in the plastic vaginas? Maybe that would be a good thing for Bill to have.
The vagina in the can.
I can recommend them.
There's some high quality ones out there that I've... Never mind.
Well, there's a can of vagina out there you can get now.
Yeah,
I know. I've
Why
seen
am
it.
I even on the radio? Bye! okay, so here's the question. The thing is, there can't have been a campaign, Eric, on the basis that he kept firing his campaign managers. So there was no... They might have liked the idea of a coherent sort of message and also a narrative arc for the campaign. But that didn't happen.
No.
Which might explain for the fact that his actors got tired, because isn't if you storyboard, which I think is probably the correct word, if you storyboard your campaign, you make sure that the messaging gets refreshed every so often just to keep people engaged, which is what Barack Obama did twice. And Hillary has continued.
I mean, there is no reason he should be. I mean, when you look at everything that his campaign has done, he has broken every rule in the book. So, I mean, there's no way this has been a traditional campaign in any sense. I don't think there's any way it could be repeated necessarily. It's so driven by him, also driven by, you know, this car accident watching, you know. I mean, there was the media at one point, CNN and Fox News, and I think MSNBC in the U.S., cable news channels, they heard that Trump was going to speak. So they switched on their live feeds and pointed it at an empty podium waiting for Trump for 20 minutes. And then that was running live on TV without him even being there. They didn't even think, oh, we'll cut to it when he gets there. They just left that broadcast. So he got so much free airtime that no one's ever, because, you know, you listen to Hillary speaking, you're out, you're gone. And that's not just Hillary. That's a normal politician. It's boring. They talk about, you know, leadership and policies and, you know, I just can't even say the words. It's so dull. So Trump didn't do that, obviously, and that drew people in, and that's what saved him.
So inadvertently, even liberal press have given Trump a great platform just because their job is to sell newspapers and get TV ratings, radio listeners. So in a way, Trump is their best friend, and he's for being such a monster, it's played into his strategic hands.
He gives good sound bites. You know, he makes up words, he makes up his own logic, he makes up facts. You know, and then he says them so many times he actually starts to believe them, and he'll contradict himself from one minute to the next. You know, he'll say, oh, we're going to build a wall, we're going to keep Mexicans out. And 5 minutes later, no, I never said that. You know, he's a contradiction, so that's why.
Could that be, if he doesn't win, looking back on it,
he's going to break the Republican Party completely open.
No, they're broken. They're
totally destroyed. Yeah, I don't know what's going to come up next, but the Republican Party, as we know it, is finished.
And why is that?
He broke it. You know, he's literally destroyed, because the people who used to go up would be like Mitt Romney and the other, they're so boring and... Yeah.
Self-made men.
They say they're self-made. They're not self-made. They held help. They had help too, like he did.
Mm. It's similar to what's happened with labor in this country, where the sort of heartland labor supporters that are the working class, you know, in the mills and in the mines and that kind of thing, have moved away from labor. That there's a group now that are that group in of the what they call the Rust Belt, and they're moving towards this sort of Trump type Republican. Mm. Whereas there's the Mitt Romney type Republican that are the small lower taxes, small government, but they don't speak to that sort of working class person anymore.
So they might be slightly more educated, a little bit more educated than, you know, the Donald Trump supporters.
Yeah, I mean, and there's an educational divide. What was the phrase that he used? We like low educated people. I mean, he said something that was not the non-college degree person, but he just called them. I love the stupid people. They love me. You know, and it's like, you're not supposed to actually say that, Donald.
But the stupid people liked it.
But then they went,
But what Donald has done is he has tapped into the blue-collar American audience who, strangely, have often voted Republican, even though the Republican Party stands for everything that's anathema to their best economic interests. Because, you know, Ronald Reagan tapped into that working-class vote, didn't he? Perhaps in the UK, Thatcher did it too, with White Van Man voting for her. And it seems to be the aspirational thing, and also the idea that you're not this Washington metropolitan elite.
But there's also a moral thing too, because, I mean, a lot of the Republicans, like my brother, is like, he's completely against abortions and all these kind of things like that. It's like, everything you stand for is against women and against evolution. And these are the people who actually, you know, this is what I'm talking about. They're not educated, and they go to church every Sunday, and their preacher tells them, if you vote for Hillary, you're voting for the devil. You're voting for Satan. You know, she's going to let everyone get abortions, and people are going to be having sex in the street, and it's just going to be a giant orgy. It's going to be Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what they believe. Honestly, my brother believes this. Like I said last time I was here, he still believes that if I turn 60 in this country, the NHS is going to kill me.
Right.
Because that is what he said. Because this is what he's heard on one of Trump's things, that when people in Britain turn 60, the NHS kills them. And like he said, dude, what are you talking about? That's what Donald Trump said. So he believes it.
It is very
strange.
And
his minister has said it as well. So
I was in America 8 years ago during the well, two elections ago, and this was Obama running for president for the first time. And there was this really sweet old lady who featured in this documentary I was doing, and she was a wonderful, you know, she had sort of blue rinse hair, and she made apple pies, and she was very homely. And I asked her about the election, and she just said, "We think Obama's the Antichrist."
Yes, exactly.
Which is like, wow, you couldn't make this up.
No, you
can't. Seems far-fetched, but it's just there.
Yeah.
But so the Republican Party, what I don't understand is why a change of leadership won't fix it. If he loses, they just learned their lesson that they need to find someone in a suit who's normal, who can essentially walk the next election, because no one likes Hillary if she does win.
Because there's a huge part of the base that has rejected that. They rejected the Romney, the Jeb Bush sort of person, and they're embracing this, the more firebrand Republicanism. And Trump isn't promising lower taxes, or he's promising lower taxes, but not the smaller government thing. He's saying, you know what, I'll make sure I give you all health care. And they went, okay, that's not a typical conservative Republican thing to say government will fix it. He's going against trade deals, which typically Republicans are for free trade. He's saying no. He's basically saying whatever they want to hear. You know, he's promising
because
to bring
he's a salesman,
back,
not yes, a politician.
He's bringing back steel jobs when he was building his buildings and was buying steel from China.
Exactly.
And that's pointed out. But because people are in their own media bubbles, which I think makes some of the problems that we have both in this country and in the U.S. almost, how do we have any credibility? How do we have a place to go for a balanced, fair view anymore? No one believes the media that is left-wing, and no one believes the media that is right-wing. So where do we get good information? We all have information, but most of it's crap.
Yeah.
So how do you move beyond that? So his supporters, because they've been told that Obama's the Antichrist, they've been told that these are the end of days, then Obama was reelected. And we're still here. Mm-hmm. So then now we're told if Hillary's elected, it's the end of days. It's kind of like, how many times do you believe in the end of the world? Maybe there'll be a fever break at some point, and there'll be sense that comes forward, and people do something logical. But
I think this is what whoever gets in office should do, is they should invest in education. Because this is what America needs more than anything else. They need education. Serious education. That's across, and they need to get rid of all the creationism, all that crap, and let's just go back to the basics: reading, writing, science, not creationism, and get people on the same page, because that's what will destroy all this stuff.
Well, that's just what a socialist would say.
Exactly.
Are we overreacting slightly to Trump here? I just wonder whether there's a sort of shrill level of panic about a potential Trump presidency. And I wonder whether we're not understanding that he is just a showman and a salesman. And in fact, a Trump presidency wouldn't be nearly as bad as everyone fears for several reasons. One, because he's saying whatever he can say to get elected. Secondly, the American checks and balances of Congress, the houses, will stop him anyway. And also, he himself and his values, he's not a particularly terrifying figure, really, is he? Apart from the vernacular he uses and the terminology, which is completely obscene and unacceptable, the bottom line is he is a Democrat. He's an entrepreneur. He believes in, you know, making money and making something of yourself. He's also not ultra religious, is he?
No.
So I just wonder.
His wife's a porn star. I don't see how that can.
He's actually a civilian.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you rather have, President Trump or a Christian right?
I'd rather have Trump than a Christian right any day of the week.
Eric?
I'd rather have an honorable person who cares about the country and understands that they're standing up for something.
Politicians also.
Who is in the Christian right? Over Trump, I'd vote for
but
George
isn't
W. Bush.
I
would vote for Mitt Romney. I would vote for John McCain. I'd vote for pretty much anyone because he doesn't believe in the institute. He said that he won't support the results of the election. That's an attack on the fundamentals of
America,
democracy.
Yeah.
Not just America, but any non-fascist state. If he refuses and tries to take up, you know, he's calling people to arms. Now, he may be saying that, but saying that is dangerous. And that's why he's different than other politicians.
I mean,
do you not think that danger
people to take Hillary out?
Sorry.
And he's actually implied and told people, you know, take her out.
And encouraged Russia to hack Hillary's emails and various other things. But the thing is, his bark is worse than his bite. President Trump will be this anodyne, perhaps slightly comical figure that will achieve very little in power.
I honestly think that he will quit because he's not used to working those hours.
Yeah.
He's not used. He's like, you're taking a serious pay cut.
When you run businesses, people work for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you work for everyone else. You get a pay cut. How much does he earn now? year?
Well, he's going to keep earning it.
It's
in a blind trust like he claims he is.
Yeah, he's such a liar. Yeah, I know. But I mean, seriously, he's like, I don't think he has any idea what he's in for. And the fact that he thinks he's going to have power when, in fact, Congress and the Senate are going to be sitting right there like the angel and the devil on his shoulder, you know, playing tug of war with whatever he wants to do. The only thing that
let's say you were a novelist or something, you'd really want Trump to get in just to see what happens.
As a comic, I want him to get in. Honestly, I do, because he's gold for me. I don't know about for you. He's comedy gold.
It's my pension plan. That's why I voted for him.
Seriously.
But it wouldn't be as bad if he got in, would it?
No, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world because he doesn't have that much power. He won't have that much power.
I think that it will be very damaging for America if he wins.
Yeah.
I think areas like the president of the United States doesn't control the books. So the Congress controls the money flow, but he does have executive authority. So, for example, Donald Trump, for the first time in modern history, refused to release his tax returns. So every president has released their tax returns. It was started by Richard Nixon.
Yes.
So
ironic.
Yeah, tricky dick there. And because, you know, open and transparent, that's the kind of guy I was.
Cool.
And so they've all done it up until then. He's refused to. Now, Obama has the authority to do that. He could send a letter to the IRS and say, give me Trump's tax returns. And that would be completely legal. He didn't, because that would be unethical and wrong to do.
Exactly.
I could see Trump looking at these women who've accused him of sexual assault, saying, you know what, these women, I'm going to just dump all. And he could do it because he's kind of vindictive.
He's very vindictive.
You know, so
he said he'll sue them when he's president.
Yeah, he could direct the attorney general to investigate people that are his opponents. And that kind of thing. Again, this is a third world sort of quote unquote democracy.
I think he's missed a trick, you know, because my view is that if he had run a more disciplined campaign and had an expert team.
Yep. He would have fired them.
He would have fired them, but if he'd listened to them.
But he wouldn't be Donald Trump.
That's the contradiction. Yeah. But I feel that a muzzled Donald Trump could probably have walked to the White House, because the truth is that Hillary, and this is an expression I've heard so many times, watching American comedy shows, watching talk shows, news programs, which is, everyone hates Hillary.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a basic given. Now, I know you don't hate Hillary,
I don't hate
JoJo.
Her. I think she's cool.
But there's a general brushstroke observation, which is America does not like Hillary and that they'll be voting for her through gritted teeth. You get the feeling anyone except Trump would have won. Eric?
Yeah, I mean, if she wins by 3 or 4 points.
Just a bloke in a suit.
I mean, Jeb was the most likely candidate, but Trump called
boring.
Him wimp and boring. I mean, he was.
It would have been,
we wouldn't be here now talking about it because we'd sleep at home. It wouldn't matter.
Do you think the celebrity factor has helped Hillary at all? Katy Perry has been a stalwart at her hustings. We've had Jay-Z and we've had, anyone and everyone from the world of showbiz, Madonna, offering blowjobs. If you vote for, which, you know, that's how
that actually was illegal for her to offer that. That was a criminal offense for her to offer payment for votes.
Yeah. See, so is that right?
Illegal. Yeah, it is.
That was that. There were some people looking to investigate.
So
that.
Unusual for Madonna to break the rules like that.
I know.
She's normally such a good girl.
I volunteered to see if she would actually go through with it to, you know, see if you could get her. But no,
I didn't think that the celeb thing. As a Brit, I can just remember Brexit and anyone and everyone. In the public eye was begging the public to vote remain, and it had no impact. And I thought it actually backfired because you've got all these well-heeled public figures saying, you know, please vote to stay. And I wonder, in America, do you think the celeb factor will help Hillary? All of those famous people backing her?
I think a lot of it is about getting the young people to vote, because they generally are the ones who don't, and they're generally the ones, like in Brexit, who feel differently than the way the results will likely go. So if it invigorates them, maybe that will make a difference. I think the fact that what's remarkable is that Donald Trump has had almost no celebrities come out and support him.
He had Ted Nugent.
Yeah, he said Ted Nugent.
But as usual, he turned it on its thing, and he said, oh, I'm just here on my own.
Yeah.
Just me. No piano, no guitar. He does have that Boris Johnson thing to be able to make lemonade out of lemons, always.
Yeah.
And he always will have that. But, you know, you said, and you both believe, that the Republican Party is very damaged, possibly broken. Does that mean a new party emerging at some point?
I don't know how they reconcile the two sides, because there's that traditional business end of the conservative side of things that had this marriage with the religious right. And now we've got this, you know, the KKK publicly supporting Donald Trump, and that wing that has just said, yeah, let's be racist openly versus
NRA,
quietly.
NRA, of course.
Well, yeah, the NRA, I mean, they're more mainstream in America, actually, than they would think they would be. But So I don't know how they bring those two things back together again, because the Republican Party wrote a report after Mitt Romney lost and said, we need to reach out to minorities. We need to reach out to women. And he's done everything he could.
He has reached out to women. He grabs the pussy.
That's right.
He does reach out. I mean, how more reaching out do you want?
But not to the Latina women. He doesn't reach out to them. So it's racist pussy.
Very racist. Yes. Yeah.
So we think that party's in trouble. By the way, my answer to the Republican Party, and it fixes everything in politics, which is a big new personality. And because ultimately, that's what it is. You've got a character who can just carry all these segments and these different groups and unite. And I don't know whether that character exists, but the Democrats found it in Barack Obama. Didn't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Republican Party was very divided at that point. The Democrats were divided when Obama arrived.
Boris Johnson is an American citizen. Just saying.
Hashtag just saying. You heard it here first. So, Republican Party broken. Democrat Party in rude health?
They're in the ICU. They're in critical condition.
They wobbled with the old division over Bernie. Bernie, who is a left-leaning person who captured the imagination of young voters, some quarters of the media, most
right-thinking
people.
Makes you feel good, though, that young people are on track and they are thinking about the future and thinking about other people, like Bernie was. You know, he's like, let's bring in healthcare, let's bring in education, let's get away with do away with some of the other stuff. So that made me feel good to know that the young people are, But then I'm not surprised, because when I was that age, I was very idealistic. I couldn't wait to get out and go out and do my first vote. And I was so excited to go running in there, I'm voting for the first time.
Of course.
I make a difference. And then the polls came out. Fuck all happened.
Yeah.
The wrong guy still got
in. Who was the first person you voted for? Can you tell us?
I voted for Clinton.
There you go.
But Texas still went for someone else.
Can you remember who you voted for first time?
Yeah, it was Bill Clinton. But I was close to voting for George Bush, because I came from a mildly conservative family, not Texas conservative. And Bush seemed more experienced, and I thought that was a good thing. But then I couldn't vote for him because of Dan Quayle, his vice presidential running
mate. Who was a complete fool.
He couldn't spell potato.
That was very unfortunate.
The first thing they do is give you the nuclear codes when you're president. Yeah. You're jumbling up letters in your head. That's insane.
It's not ideal. George Bush Sr., people forget this, but we're all old enough to remember that he was quite as steady as she goes president, wasn't he? He was an extremely experienced administrator, former head of the CIA, Washington royalty, really.
Yeah, I mean, arguably, probably like Hillary, one of the more experienced candidates to get the office. He'd been a vice president for 8 years. He'd been head of the CIA.
Yeah.
He'd been a military officer.
And he'd been vice president at a golden period of American economic history, which was the Reagan years. And this is what happens in politics. Bill came along, and I think he just had that JFK quality. It was just this.
A lesser
candidate would have lost.
And the economy was in trouble. And George H.W. Bush had gone back on a campaign promise, read my lips, no new taxes. So he had that double whammy. And a really strong third-party candidate, which luckily we have not had this time.
Yeah, read my read my tits. Guys, do you like my T-shirt which says read my tits?
Yes, it's beautiful.
You don't think it's not classy?
I think what's scarier is now in the political discourse, we have to just, if we say read my lips, we have to say which sort of lips we're talking about.
Yeah, that is.
Oh my God.
There's the Braille lips,
So Clinton arrived. And by the way, now Bill's going to be back in the White House if Hillary wins. Will he have an influence on what she does in her job as president? Will he say, you don't want to invade, Syria, or you don't want to, this country we should bomb, but the other one not?
They were originally sold to us as two for one. Like, he was elected president and she was going to help out. And that kind of backfired a bit. And she did say at the beginning of this campaign that we're going to get it again, two for one. And I'm going to put Bill in charge of the economy. And people in the press and I think her supporters just went, that's not what we want.
No.
The shine has come off of Bill even before Trump paraded out the women that were in Bill's past. And I think that he will be given, I'm hoping he's not given a massive role, because we're not putting him back in the White House. We're putting him not in the Oval Office. And he's had his time in the Oval Office, he had a good time there.
Yeah, I want to see him carry out the duties of a first lady, like all the other first ladies. I want him to go out there and read to the kids and do the jazzercising and try to get America fit again.
Yeah.
And
make a lot of cakes.
And make
do cookies.
Cakes. I want him to do all that stuff that Michelle Obama and all the
other
first
ladies
have done.
A little lemonade stall on the White House lawn.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to see Bill do.
10 cents for a glass of lemonade.
I want him to be the first husband, and I want him to act like all the other first ladies because he's going to be the first husband. I mean, is that the term? Is that what we're going to call him, though, the first husband?
Yeah, the first ladies, generally, one of their key things is to entertain foreign dignitaries' wives.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Bill Clinton.
That's the line. That's the line of the day.
Oh, my Lord.
However, you've said that, by the way, Simon has tweeted in, Simon and Nikki, I want Clinton, the thought of Trump in power will be, in my opinion, a disaster. That's a commonly held view in...
Pretty much 90% of the world, other than Russia.
Correct. So, but it doesn't matter whether Bill Clinton's role publicly or privately, but will he, behind the scenes, have an influence? Or will he be this
probably.
Dennis Thatcher figure
well,
who's there
for... Well, you have a wife. You talk to your wife. You go
no,
home and you...
obviously yeah, not.
You just go around and grabbing her by the pussy? Come on.
Do you know about marriage?
Not very much, no.
We exchange angry stares.
Yes.
Over dinner.
Okay. Oh, that's it.
Sure, of course, on an emotional level, and your partner is your confidant. But
exactly.
Do we know what state their relationship is in and how Hillary and Bill's relationship will influence how successful she is as president? Because the spouse is always important. Michelle Obama has been a key figure in the Obama administration.
Obama at times has gone to Bill Clinton for advice and guidance. And I mean, the presidents talk to each other because it's a unique role and you know, only they really understand it. So I think if privately, I'm happy for him to advise her and to give feedback. But I think a public role for him is always going to be dodgy. And I just don't think he's as popular as he once was. And he's also a bit of a loose cannon. I mean, he got the campaign in trouble by saying that Obamacare is a quote-unquote disaster.
Yeah.
And he was saying that some of the elements of it aren't working because Congress won't fix it. But him saying that became the news for the day, and that's not the kind of news they wanted. So he's a bit of a loose cannon because he's an ex-president. Like, there's a fantastic video. They went to Shimon Peres's funeral in Israel.
Yeah.
And Obama and Bill Clinton flew over together. And Obama's known for being very punctual, and Bill's not.
Yeah.
And there's, have you seen it, where Obama comes out and yells at Bill Clinton on the doors of Air Force One?
Oh, no.
Come on, Bill, we gotta go!
And he just, that's hilarious.
I mean, that is an incredible thing to see.
I'm coming, Barack.
When you're a president, you don't...
pressing the flesh.
Very few people will hold you up when you're president of the United States.
Yeah, that's
except
right.
for a former president of the United States.
That's right. Actually, I agree with him on that because as a comedian, times is everything for us. It's like, I drive people crazy because if I say I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock, I'm there at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm not there at 7:03. I am there at 7 o'clock.
Yep. So comedy is about timing.
It is.
Your
it drives
time,
me crazy.
Your set time.
Everything is time. We're obsessed with time. You know, it's like, so yeah, that would drive me crazy. I would just, I'd bitch slap him. I would have no choice. That's my biggest peeve.
So, because the Clinton presidency, again, that looks like a bit of another golden era, doesn't it? The economy was pretty strong in the Clinton years. Not too many foreign policy disasters. However, are we looking at the Hillary Clinton, you know, the next 5 years, or it's 4 years,
four.
Isn't it? The next 4 years, if she gets in, is it going to have a similar flavor to the original Clinton administrations? Tonally, foreign policy, economically, do you think?
No, I think things have changed dramatically, you know, because when Bill was originally in office, you know, one of the biggest things that they got, that they actually pushed through, you know, was the don't ask, don't tell. You know, in the military.
Yeah, and this was about when you fill out a form to join the military, whether or not you are gay or not.
Or a lesbian, and they got that through, and now it's a non-issue. So it's a totally different world that we live in now than it was. What?
No,
don't do that math in your head, kids. Don't do the math. It's terrible. But it's a totally different. I think that they'll be able to get a few more things pushed through if they want.
Yeah.
You know, healthcare, they can actually get more done with the healthcare in America.
Obamacare, not perfect, much maligned, but it's made Hillary's job easier just by setting the precedent of extending healthcare to poor Americans, I would have thought.
And
she'll attempt to continue Obama's legacy?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
She's run on that hard because he's been more popular. He's at the highest levels of popularity he's been since he was elected, and she has wholeheartedly embraced him, partly to get through the primary because she wanted the African-American vote. I mean, she hugged Obama so tight, he didn't look so black anymore. and Bernie was...
He turned Trump orange, actually.
And that's why Bernie didn't win, is because he never one, I think, in a state that didn't have a majority minority population in the primary.
Yeah.
You know, he appealed to the white upper middle class groups and some working class, but he never broke down that.
What about temperament was mentioned a lot in the elections? And you'll have to forgive me for steering most of my questions towards the idea of a Clinton presidency. But from exit polls and from early voters, it so far looks quite good for Hillary. In terms of her economic policy, well, that's doubtless going to follow in the footsteps of Obama, who has delivered economic growth, attempted to bring down the deficit, and it's quite steady as she goes on the economy in principle. However, foreign policy, now that is a hornet's nest, isn't it? And some people, some of Hillary's biggest critics, say that she's a much more pugnacious and warmongering personality than Barack. Barack is this sort of bookish, intellectual kind of character, isn't he? He's like a college lecturer, and he likes to make speeches, and he talks of diplomacy, and you know.
She staked out a harder line when
hawkish,
she was in the
Senate.
Partly, I think, to overcompensate, in maybe the same way that the Iron Lady did in this country, to say, well, if I'm a woman, I can still be commander-in-chief. And so I think and also the Democrats traditionally have been known as the weaker party militarily after Vietnam, because they represented the movement against the Vietnam War. So I think to get in front of that, she's been much more hawkish.
Yeah.
And more openly aggressive, where Obama sort of has played he's been hawkish on some levels, but at the same time has played the peace card a bit.
Yes. This is something that's attributed to Hillary, and I've seen it on social media, that Hillary is going to start World War III because she is such a pugnacious, vicious, evil, poisonous woman.
No, she's not going to start war. Come on, guys. This is. I'm sorry, but that's sexism right there. Because if a guy had her personality, they would say he's dynamic, he's strong,
powerful.
He's powerful.
Yeah,
because
he's a guy.
It's a woman, she's pugnacious, she's a warmonger. It's just because she has tits and a vagina that they're scared of it. It's like, seriously, she's a politician. She's going to do what every other politician has done. She's going to talk to people. She's going to make peace. If they can't make peace, then she will strike. And I like that. I like it. You know, I want a strong leader that if something is happening, they will step in.
Yeah.
But I think America needs to reevaluate our role in foreign policies and what our role is. What is our role? Is it peacekeeper, or is it, you know, I mean, are we the world's police? Do we want to be the world's police? Because that's how we've been seen for years, and I think that's the wrong world for us to be in.
Well, ultimately, as the results roll in, whatever happens, do you feel that America is damaged by what we've seen in the last couple of years, and particularly this campaign? Is America damaged, or are we blowing this out of proportion?
I think that it just depends, like as I said, is if the fever breaks and people start to realize that they can't just have the two sides refuse to work with each other, then if that doesn't, then yes, then we're in real trouble. But hopefully there's some rationality that comes out of it.
Well, let's hope so. The world hopes so. You've been listening to the dulcet tones of Eric McElroy and Jojo Georgie. Thank you so much for coming. And if Trump gets in, you're welcome to live in the basement of my house.
Thank you.
Forever.
Thank you.
I am a refugee. I have the teeth of a 12-year-old.
It's perfect. So I've heard. We did a Twitter poll, and we asked, who do you think's going to win? 44% Clinton, said Clinton. 30% said Trump. And in true FUBAR fashion, 22 said, either way, we are fucked. Okay. Classic FUBAR. It is FUBAR Radio. You've been listening to the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. Let's hope America chooses wisely. And if so, we'll be back next week. And if not, we'll be in a bunker somewhere. I've been Mark Dolan. Catch up with you soon. We'll play out with Beyonce. Keep on running, 'cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Marys, I meditate for practice. Channel 9 News tell me I'm moving backwards. 8 blacks left, death is around the corner. 7 misleading statements about my persona. 6 headlights waving in my direction. 5-0 asking me what's in my possession. Yeah, I keep running, jumping the aqueducts. Fire hydrants and hazard, the smoke alarms on the back of us. But mama, don't cry for me, ride for me, drive for me, live for me, breathe for me, sing for me, honestly guiding me. I can be more than I gotta be, stole from me, lied to me. Nation hypocrisy, gold on me, driving me wicked. My spirit inspired me like, yeah. Open correctional gates in high desert. Yeah. Open our mind as we cast away oppression. Open the streets and watch our beliefs. And when they carve my name inside the concrete, I pray it for every freedom, freedom.